Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Somebody loves me. I wonder who. I wonder who she can be.
No, I'm on some kind of weird Sinatra kick. Welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. We were awaiting the arrival of Mark and Maureen Shulman to tell you all about this National Cheesecake Day. I didn't even know there was a National Cheesecake Day. Maybe they'll pop in here. But it's my great pleasure to... One of the great pairs, I think, in the history of Chicago theater is one of my great heroes, Ben Hecht. Paired with my guest right now, James Sherman. Jim, how are you?
I'm great, Rick. Thanks.
You have been, if not obsessed with Heck, at least fascinated by him for some time, haven't you?
Yeah, he was a fascinating character. And I knew about him certainly as a playwright. He wrote The Front Page with Charles MacArthur, one of the great plays of the 20th century.
Yeah, you know, you think, this is the thing about Heck, is, okay, his first play, his
right.
first, and... He probably wrote a couple others that I may not know of. But okay, your first play is The Front Page.
Right.
Yeah.
Opened in 1928 and is still being done today. There's a Broadway revival coming
up
this fall.
Oh, I know a huge one. John Slattery, Nathan Lane.
Right.
When did you first? I mean, is that your first introduction?
That was my first introduction. And then, of course, he was this tremendously successful screenwriter. And when I rattle off some of the movies he wrote, people
He won the first Oscar for writing, for goodness sake.
Yeah, he won two Academy Awards for writing. I think he was nominated six times total. And some of the great movies from the 30s. The original Scarface with Paul Muni, Nothing Sacred, one of the great screwball comedies, Wuthering Heights with Laurence Olivier and Merle Oberon. Two movies for Alfred Hitchcock. So tremendous.
Well, and also he was also a legend. He kind of had a factory out there, didn't he? And famously, it was Herman Mankiewicz who sent him a telegram when he was working on The Front Page saying, you know, come on out here to Hollywood. Millions to be made and the only competition is idiots.
Right.
One of the things that strikes me, I want to talk more about who's going to see the Ben Hecht show, because it is remarkable to me that he has... You and I adore him.
Yeah.
There are other people adore him. He was a giant in Chicago. Why is he not more celebrated here?
Well, overall, because he was a writer.
You know? Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
you know?
Right. He wasn't a gangster. Yeah,
he wasn't a gangster, and he wasn't a star.
And he wasn't a politician.
He wasn't a politician. He does not have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I know. I looked. He himself, I don't think, was particularly interested in celebrity or fame for himself. You know, he was always interested in the work.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's one of the reasons he used that. He wasn't at the first Oscar ceremony, and he eventually picked up his Oscar and used it kind of like as a doorstop,
right.
For goodness sake. When you started getting into, Heck was one of a god to my father, so I sort of grew up knowing about him.
Yeah.
When you get beyond the accomplishments as a writer, there is a tremendous amount there, isn't there?
Sure. And this was what really inspired me to do the show that I'm doing now, because he wrote a big autobiography called Child of the Century.
Which is a fabulous book.
Wonderful.
It's, you know, one of the things, it's uneven, like all of Heck's stuff. The best of it is as good as it gets. And then some of it is like, wait a minute, you wrote this too fast, don't you think?
I mean, he seems to have almost a photographic memory for conversations that he had years ago. And then, of course, how much he embellished, we don't know, you know. But he wrote a smaller book called A Guide for the Bedeviled. And I came across that book a few years ago, and that was what really hooked me. And I got the rights to use his material because the writing is so great.
Who owns the rights now?
Well, the estate, and he does not have any living heirs.
Wow.
But he died in 1964. His widow, Rose, I think, lived to the 80s.
Yeah, I drinks with her in New York.
And she gave the Ben Hecht papers to the Newbery Library right here in Chicago.
Right, of course. And the Oscar. It's
right,
in there, too.
Yeah. So they represent the estate. So, in fact, the show that I'm doing now, wherever I do the show, the Newberry Library is kind of my collaborator.
And they're nice people.
And they're wonderful people. They were tremendously helpful. I actually have a picture of Rose and his daughter Jenny on the set. I have a picture of Harpo Marx because they were good friends on the set. So, and I got those from Newberry. So they were really, really helpful.
The show is called The Ben Heck Show. It's at the Piven Theater. It's been extended crazy, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been doing really well. So we're going now till August 14th.
Who's coming to this show, Jim Sherman?
Well, there are so many different approaches. I mean, primarily the book that I mentioned, A Guide for the Bedeviled, was Heck describing something that happened to him later in life. And this was a story that I related to as an American Jew, that he got very involved in Zionist activities.
No question.
After the war. And when, like so many people in this country, the American Jews were unaware of what was going on in Europe in the Nazi Holocaust. When Heck found out about it, and he got a lot of resistance for this.
Oh, I bet.
But with his instincts as a newspaper man, I think, he wanted to get the word out. And so his story of not only doing that and working with the Zionists and fighting against the resistance of a lot of Jewish organizations that didn't want to
giving a lot
be
of money.
He raised a lot of money.
Tremendous amount of money, yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of raised his own Jewish consciousness, and I kind of had that experience in my own life. So there's a very important American Jewish story that's kind of the base of the play. And then I also talk about his views of Hollywood in those days, which are also pretty relevant. And this is the amazing thing about the show, is I'm dealing with material that was written in the 1940s, but he talks about anti-Semitism, and he talks about racism and the things that are so relevant today that there's a huge audience for this, I'm finding. It's remarkable.
Let's take a break. We are talking as long as we possibly can with James Sherman, the star of the Ben Heck Show at the Piven Theater. It's been extended, and just if you've just heard him for the last 10 minutes, I'm sure you're intrigued enough to go buy tickets. Where can people buy tickets? What's a website for this thing?
Sure. The website is brownpapertickets.com, and then you look at the Ben Heck Show.
It's worth it. If you don't know anything about Ben Heck, and I'm looking at Jim, and I've known Jim and seen Jim on stages for decades now. He's got the little Heckian mustache. Your hair looks like Heck's. It's got to work. We got to take a little break, and we'll come back and talk more about that, but also about your career in theater. He just told me that his son is in a production of Midsummer Night's Dream
in
Oak Brook and got rained out last night. We were both hoping it didn't get rained out tonight. And I also said, you let your son become an actor. We'll talk about that with Jim Sherman.
How glad the many millions of Annabelles and
Frank Sinatra, ladies and gentlemen. Frank Sinatra sings Gershwin. James Sherman plays Ben Heck in the Ben Heck Show at the Piven Theater, extended into August. Go to brownpaperticket.com and just put in Ben Hecht, H-E-C-H-T. When you inhabit, Jim, a role like this, and you've been an actor for decades now, what transpires? Do you know what I mean? I mean,
sure.
What kind of alchemy is involved in that kind of thing?
In this instance, not very much, because as I said, I related to the story so much that usually if an actor is playing Hamlet, you know, he has to personalize his own life experience to the role. In this instance, even though he's a generation older, the experience was just so close, hit so close to home to me that really all I had to do was put on the mustache, slick back my hair, you know, put on the right suit, and I feel very comfortable doing it.
Yeah. It's difficult in crafting the show, and Denis Zajac, the legendary director, the founder of the Victory Garden
the founders
Theater.
Of Victory
How
Gardens.
Did you get Denis to come out of? He's not in retirement. He's kind of, I don't know.
Well, he's very happily retired. He's still working.
Yeah, I know. But
he was the artistic director of the Victory Gardens Theater for 34 years.
Yes. He made it what it is. I mean,
he and his wife, Marcy and Sandy Schinner. And I was very fortunate. I was one of the playwrights who had a number of shows done there over the years. Dennis and I did more than a dozen shows together.
Did you really?
Yeah. So when I come up with a new idea now, I don't want to open a closet without Dennis as my collaborator. So fortunately, he was available. And he's still working. You know, he's still freelancing. He's not the artistic director anymore, but he's doing fine. Working together for so many years, we have a connection that's really
sure.
Precious.
And does he help you? You have a script, obviously, and then does he help shape it? That it really is like alchemy. That when especially when two people have collaborated so frequently over the years.
Yeah, it's interesting because we know each other so well. And this is, I should mention, this is a solo show. It's just on stage for 90 minutes. So he would sit and watch and he would go, you know, when you're doing that section, you know, that reminds me of an uncle. And then he would just tell me a little story.
That sounds so like
and then
Dennis,
I would go, I get what you're saying. And somehow it would have an effect on me and my performance. And then simple things like, you know, why don't you move over here and, you know, and pick up this schmata and then move over there and pick up this book, you know. So his eye on the show is very important.
And how does the show, I'm sure he's not, knowing Dennis, he's not sitting there every night watching you, but there must be subtle changes that you make during a run, especially one that's likely to be this lengthy.
Right. Well, this is the magic of live theater. Someone asked me recently, don't you get tired or bored doing the same thing over and over? But it's never the same because the audience is always different. Whether there's 25 people or 50 people or 100 people, and sometimes they're a little older, sometimes they're a little younger. You know, another great film director that we know, Billy Wilder.
Oh, sure.
You know, he once said that the audience, they're idiots, but together they're genius. You know, and every audience has its own personality, and it really affects me.
Do you sense it very much? Do you sense it almost immediately? You must sense it almost immediately.
Pretty quickly.
When you walk, are you on the stage when the show begins, or do you walk out?
Right. No, the premise of the show is, as you walk into the theater, you're coming into my studio. I'm sitting there. I've got this old-timey Underwood typewriter, and I'm pounding away. And then when it's time, I just start talking and telling you these stories as Ben Hecht. And within the first page, you know, there's a couple of moments where if I hear that first laugh, those first couple of laughs, then I know we're going to have a good time. If I got to work a little harder, then I got to do that, you know. But so it really is an exchange between me and the audience, every performance.
Have you done a one-man show before?
No. I had, and I wasn't even looking to do a one-man show.
Yeah, sure. Who would be? Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because it's a lot of work.
Oh, sure.
You know, and we ain't getting any younger.
You look good.
So I had to actually hire someone just to sit in the room with me. Usually in a play, you have other actors and you practice your lines.
Sure.
So I had to have somebody that I could work on the script, you know, and memorize it and go over and over it. I think I got it pretty well now.
You've had a lengthy and very successful career as a playwright and a actor. Could you have done this somewhere else other than Chicago?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, I teach playwriting and I teach improvisation at Columbia College and at DePaul, and I tell my students every semester, there is no better theater town in the country than Chicago. And that's quality and quantity. I mean, you know, the amount of theater that goes on is just so impressive. The quality of the work is so impressive. And the support within the community for new work is just so amazing.
See, that's one thing that's always struck me, too, as a longtime observer of the scene here, is there is a – I know there's some idiots and some mean people, but it is generally a nurturing community, unlike any other artistic endeavor. Writers aren't actually like that. We're a jealous, nasty, nasty lot. But why do you think you just let the mystery stay? Or you know?
Well, you know, writers have gone on and on about, you know, The Third Coast, that great book. I can't remember the author's name.
Tom Dyja.
Right. I read that recently. It was the one book, one Chicago.
It's a good book.
Yeah. And fascinating about so many things that happen in Chicago that somehow would only happen in Chicago.
Like Hefner inventing Playboy.
Like Hefner inventing Playboy. Like the Second City starting here that affected theater everywhere. So I think there's something about that Chicago ethic that probably goes back to Ben Hecht when he was sitting around the newsroom with all those guys.
Sure. You know? Or the Dill Pickle Club or some of the other joints he used to hang out in.
Right. You know, I started my career professionally as an actor with the Second City.
Yeah.
And it was such an important training ground for me and, you know, so many others. And I think something like that wouldn't have happened anywhere but in Chicago when that magic combination of people came together.
Do you think also it's, and I've brought up this philosophical notion a couple times, that it is, you have the ability to fail here without dying here. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. On a very practical level, to produce the Ben Hecht Show here is about, I would say, a fifth of what it would cost to produce it in New York.
Wow.
You know.
Wow. So, do you have ambitions to take this show on the road, though?
Oh, sure. You know, not only to other theaters, but because it's a one-man show, and I've done a little of this already, I've gone to synagogues and Jewish historical societies and JCCs, you know, because I could just set it up, put on, you know, the suit and do the show just for a one-night or a weekend. So I've done that.
That must be a very fertile audience for this.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Because it is such a fascinating story and a story that's not very well known.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. Do you, the obvious question, on a day when you go into the theater, and this is the downside of a one-man show, and you're not feeling it. Do you feel it the minute you walk out on that stage?
Sure. You know, there's a kind of, I don't want to get wax poetic here.
Go ahead.
But there's a, when I go on stage, it's like stepping on the pulpit, you know, it's sacred space. And presuming that there are more than a couple of people there to watch, you know, in the audience, it's transformative. On Saturdays, I do the show twice. Oof. So, you know, so I'm dragging by the
it's
end of the evening.
It's a matinee. How many shows a week?
Well, we're doing four shows, Friday night at 8, Saturday at 5 and 8, and a Sunday matinee at 3. This coming week, we're doing two special midweek performances for people who like to go out on a Wednesday and Thursday. We're doing just this Wednesday and Thursday, the 27th and 28th, and we'll be there till August 14th. And then I'm already sending out feelers to take it to other theaters. Other parts
That's
of the
great.
Country.
It's called the Ben Hecht Show. It's at the Piven Theater. Go to Brown Paper Ticket.
Tickets.
Tickets.com. Brown Paper. I'm sure if you put in Brown Paper Ticket and say, like, Rick Hogan told me to spell it this way, you'll get to brownpapertickets.com. We got to take a break. I'm going to keep Jim here, and we can talk more about Chicago theater, or we'll await the Shulmans. And we'll see what Jim has to say about. See what you can meet him. You should meet him anyway. They're lovely, lovely people. They're going to come in here, but you're going to stay till 10. I'll take a little break, and then we'll get some news, and we'll carry on with this spontaneous show.